Hello, Garys. This is Susan Blumert, but my fans call me Mr. Kaplan. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Well, he's not a plant, but he's definitely a snitch. Welcome to this week's award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings, one and all. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
Final stretch, kids. I'm here, Agent Aaron Peterson, and here's the forbearance. I just use that as an excuse to drink in the morning. Thanks for joining us yet again on the final season of The Blacklist for number 182, Wormwood, written by Sam Eisendrath. I wonder if there's any relation. And directed by Mr. No Hair Movement Whatsoever, Diego Klatinoff. Congratulations, he's a director now.
That's cool.
That's pretty awesome. Congratulations to him. Show notes that are in tow for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. And I will say this was directed quite well. So good job.
Yeah. And I will say I am not going to make any references to Worm Tongue from The Lord of the Rings. This is my one and only.
Why would you?
Because it's Wormwood.
So just because I said Worm in the title?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So kind of like how they threw Dune in there as a reference to
that was worms? A little, I was like, did they just talk about the movie where you sit and watch sand blow around for 4 hours?
I think they were talking about the book,
well,
sir.
They were working on the book, yes, but.
Yeah. Just saying, it's important. Important distinction.
We're going to read for multiple hours while sand blows around.
Very important distinction. Nerds.
Nerds.
People that actually read. Do they still read anymore? It feels like they don't. It really does.
I don't read.
I try to.
I can't catch up on the amount of TV that's out there, let alone the amount of books that are out there.
Well, I will tell you, my mother is very, very firm on this because she worked in psychology for like 3 decades, that if you do not read like a book a month, your brain, your ability to recollect, your ability to respond, your wit, if you will, your quick thinking deteriorates. And she's seen it firsthand for years. Ah. It's that actively reading and with engagement, not just looking on your phone. She believes wholeheartedly in that.
All right.
I'll take that as a scientific study.
That would explain my short-term research memory loss that I have constantly.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, when I start, like, I can't think of something quick and stupid to say. If I read a book, I sharpen up. So I get what she's saying. There's something to it.
No, it just means that you're actually smarter than you used to be, because that's why you can't think of something stupid to say, because normally you just say stupid things.
No, I can say stupid things quicker, though. That's just it. I can get right to it. You know what? Let's get back to last week.
Oh, yeah. Where were you last week? What were you doing? Why weren't you here? Why was Chuck back? And Chuck did a great job last week.
Where was I last week? Oh, the last episode, because it was 2 weeks ago,
I suppose, yes.
I was in Florida for work. Oh. So I was traveling. I will be traveling again next week, too.
Yes, Chuck will be back again next week. So, but yeah, Chuck's fitting in nicely. He's good.
Yeah, he's doing nice. Yeah. Great job. You could take my seat for next season.
don't put those things into the ether.
But the writer's strike, they might desperately need some material. So you never know. Blacklist, maybe it's not quite done. We did decide for the finale, we're going to do a live after show for the finale, yeah?
Yep, just like we did for Nachalo or Konyets, that vein, we will definitely do that this time around.
And then we will do a wrap-up episode of the podcast/series shortly thereafter, probably a couple weeks after that, so we can get time to digest. Yeah. And it'll be obviously early for patrons.
Definitely. Absolutely. Well, if you are new to the podcast, welcome. Glad you are here. Finally made it. 4 to go. And then we also have some normal stuff that we do, which is the profiling question for the week from 2 weeks ago this time around. We'll go through the case profile, and then we'll talk about stuff from you, the fans, in Special Agent Intel. And last we left off, we were talking about the Morgana Corporation, which was run by Red, shocker. And he said, you know what? I'm giving it up. I'm just giving it all away to all the people that are below me, and we're shutting it down. And we all wanted to figure out, why the hell would he do that if it was this magnum opus, this beautiful thing, this work of art that he built up all over the years. So clearly he's off his rocker.
I didn't get to add my two cents. Can I add my two cents?
Oh, you actually watched the episode.
Yep, okay. I did.
And you thought it was...
I felt like I was guilted into it, but yeah. It to me, it's what's the nice way to say it, I guess. I think he's setting the post office up so that when Hudson does get them, he can... I didn't listen to your podcast, so I'm not... I hope I'm not stealing from anybody. I think when he's shutting it down so that he gives the post office a huge win, so when they do hold congressional hearings, they can show that their task force is of value, and also red wiped all knowledge of him so that all the blood that's on their hands is kind of wiped clean. He's just doing all this to help the people he cares about and also make it safe for Agnes in the future, because he needs no mention of Red with Agnes, because I think people will be able to put the pieces together, unlike many fans.
You could almost say that Red is doing his best job to become a, shall we say, ghost? Kind of like the criminal that never was, the spy that went into the cold?
Sure. I mean, essentially to make himself more of a figure than a person. You know, more of a ghost story.
Yeah, yeah. A Dread Pirate Roberts kind of thing. Sure. Just, you know, an old fable.
He's not really a person.
Like some old female Russian spy that did the same thing. Who knows?
Or her dad. Yep. But what do people say? That's my thought. What do people say?
Well, people think he's dying, obviously.
Yeah, I don't. I know that's the one that everybody's clinging to. I don't know if he's dying. I just think he wants to have a normal life and find a way to have a normal life with Agnes somehow. And I don't know. I feel like this is a way that he can kill his legacy, kill his mantra, his stigma, if you will, and then come back and have a life with Agnes and actually have some family time.
Can he actually be redeemed? That was the Mexican cave fish story. Can he see the light again?
Nope.
Is that what he's trying to do?
Nope. Might be trying, but he can't.
Okay.
My opinion. I mean, you killed too many people at some point. You're just irredeemable. I mean, you can try to make up. But the thing is, it's not about how you enter this world. It's about how you leave it.
That's right.
Leave it a little better than you found it.
I left it on a beach.
There you go. Yeah, we had a nice little cruise vacation.
I missed the beach too.
Also, he wants to spend time with Agnes without looking over his shoulder. He wants to become a banana farmer.
On his banana plantation. I like that one.
And he has lost his marbles completely. I definitely don't think it's that one.
Yeah. No. Clearly exercised the right train of thought this week in the episode. So he's got his faculties. He just doesn't have a corporation to run anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what do we got for next week?
Do you like Red's casualty with death this season? He's playing with it. He doesn't seem to care anymore. He's not going to miss the big moments. You know, Agnes had a big ballerina recital or dance off, whatever the professional term is, and he made sure to get there for it, even if it meant his life. And I thought that was very impressive, because I would have done the same in his shoes. So I understand that from a parent or a grandparent's perspective.
That's the one thing that NBC has never done, was a dance show. Fox had a dance show, ABC had a dance show,
and I think we're good for it.
Yeah.
Do you need a dance show?
I don't know. I kind of miss the dance shows that were on Fox back in the day.
I watched Dancing with the Stars, but they were never really stars. They were more like, you know,
B-list.
We used to be on something.
Yep. Yeah. I watched the Fox one, though. So You Think You Can Dance. Nah.
Nah, never watched that.
It was good. Well, now before Sia body slams us into the ground, let's go ahead and get into this week's case profile.
All right, we open in Miami with Red smoothing over a minor disagreement. Group of criminals being wanded and walking into a room unprotected. Apparently, Red can sneak in with a gun because he's that good. His family is our enemy, and the son hopes today changes everything. But Red is hiding in the pantry. So they said they wanted him. I'm like, did you? Because he was hiding in the pantry. It seems like he didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
Whatever. So after a nice meal, we get a story about the ghost in the reservoir. All the mystique was gone. When you dredge up things that seem terribly important, they're not. You hear that, internet? I mean, that's Red kind of speaking to the audience, if you ask me.
What? I didn't get that at all.
It felt very pointed.
On the nose.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do? Vicente and his mate start to gasp, and Red will let no one call 911 because he knows exactly what this is. He knows the situation from East Timor. Wormwood is behind this. Wormwood creates undetectable poisons that affect everyone in the general area. This is where we get a reference to Dune in this episode about wormwood, because there's a big worm in Dune. Get it? Yep. Get it? Also, it's a shrub, an herb used in the alcoholic drinks, vermouth, and absinthe. Its oil may be poisonous, so well played on all of those. So what did you think of this whole setup? I kind of like this idea where we have a group of people, and they can all be affected if they do certain things, if they try to make certain movements. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I think this one was more of the Blacklist formula of old, where you come in thinking we're catching person number A, right? Mm-hmm. But we're really going after female number B. And then you realize
like that Law and Order.
Exactly. There's a little Romeo and Juliet kind of flair to this episode. Obviously the Montagues and the Capulets, and the one son wants to date the daughter on the other side, and I think all of that plays into a fairly decent episode. And the only struggle I had with this one was it seemed very similar to the episode where I believe it was Natalie Luca, where she literally could touch somebody and then they would end up dying because of the reaction to whatever she had in her hands would connect with their skin. I felt very similar in that regard, right? That literally you touch something or breathe something or do something and then boom, it's like targeted toxins. And I feel like we've done targeted toxins before. But I like the concept behind this one where it's almost genetically engineered to bring out your allergies. And I'm just
My
like,
name is Luca.
No, that just sounds scary. Please do not give me this in the month of May and June.
All I have in my head now is My Name is Luca. So thanks for that.
No problem.
My name is Luca.
Are you up on the second floor?
Second floor. It lives upstairs from me. I don't know if you've seen me before. So yeah, I get the connection. I do. I like this take on it. It's a little bit of a different take. And honestly, when you're a couple hundred episodes in, you're going to have some kind of repetitive nature, but it's been more interesting than I think it's been in a little bit. We've had, I think Morgana, tomato, tomato.
Heard it both ways.
Yeah. Last week was a pretty good episode. I tend to think everything directed by McCarthy tends to be pretty good. He's just a really, really strong director. And Diego did a really good job with this one, keeping it tight, keeping the tension going. It did feel like kind of an older school Blacklist. Even if it did seem a little repetitive, sure. I liked the story. I was engaged the whole time. I thought it was an interesting way to go. Really loved how it played out. I'm really tired of hearing Pinky all the time because nobody... Look, I see my mom. I see my grandparents. I just don't call them mom or grandma all the time. You know, it's just like, hey, you might use it once or twice, but I swear she just says, hey, Pinky, hey, Pinky, hey, Pinky, hey, Pinky, hey, Pinky. But I do like the relationship with Red and Agnes and how he shows up at the end and da 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 da. So all that stuff I thought made for a very, very entertaining episode. And, you know, especially as we're heading into this final stretch, there's got to be a lot of ground to wrap up, right? A lot of ground to cover. And it feels like Hudson's going to, I wouldn't call him our big bad because he does feel like a good, honorable man to a degree, which is funny because I didn't think there was any left in Congress. I said it. But yeah, here we are. It should be an interesting fight when you're going up against somebody who's actually not that bad. But are you disappointed in that? Because I know, you know, we walk into the season all excited about the Blacklisters to come, and it feels like really we're dismantling his organization. We're getting more cases of the week because he's trying to give the post office a win, my opinion. And we're going to, it seems like, end going up against, you know, a pretty mild opponent, really, a congressman. I mean, he's taking out the president, so this is really mild, I think.
It's not a bad storyline. You have to...
No, I'm not saying it's bad, just different than we wanted slash expected, different than fans' expectations, I guess.
Oh, for final season, yeah. I mean, it seems like, I don't know, maybe it could have been tied in more with Wu Jing in some way where he could have stretched both of these out for the entire season. Whereas Hudson's getting closer and closer and closer, Wu Jing's getting closer, closer and closer, and then they would converge at some point. Maybe we just build, you know, pop up that dramatic tension a little bit more. But that's why we're doing podcasting instead of writing for television. We're better quarterbacks on Monday than we are on Sunday.
You speak for yourself, sir. I have great story ideas. You should listen. I did a whole podcast on them. 100 episodes. Smirk. Go read some. Damn it.
You could be syndicated then if you had 100.
Did have 100 episodes. We hit 100 and stopped.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. We did a short story every episode that was written specifically for that episode to discuss. A lot of fun. I missed that podcast. Sorry. I'm going on a tangent. All right, well, moving on. There's also a reference to Romeo and Juliet, like Troy talked about, which foreshadows what Red puts together. Michael is Gabriella's lover. What? And wants to kill everybody in the way between him and her. Man. Damn. And Red's got some great lines here. I'm late for an engagement and death is a friend. I am sorry. Some killers are. I thought that was a really nice touch. There's some really good lines here. So, Sam Eisendrath, I assume, is related to John. It got some strong lines here.
Yeah. And I don't think Gabriella was really looking to kill everyone that got in the way between the two of them getting together. What was in the way of them getting together was the war between the two families. And she knew that as long as there were people that were still hell-bent on the old ways, those are the people that needed to move on so that her beau could be in charge, because she knew that her beau was just, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, the apple of her eye. He can do no wrong and be the savior for the entire thing, because he'll fix it and end the war and move on.
Sure. And I think Red put together, I mean, this is kind of the way I took it, that because he was seen as kind of the scapegoat, that he was going to be the scapegoat for this event, I think he made the assumption that he wasn't really poisoned because she needed him alive.
Right.
She needed him to walk out of that room. That's the way that I kind of took his assumption. So it's an educated bet.
Yeah, kind of like the one that Red took when he decided to leave and go see Agnes'
play.
Yeah.
That's literally what I meant. Yeah. him leaving was the educated bet.
I thought you meant him was Michael, not Red.
No. Him leaving was the educated bet.
Got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He knew what he was dealing with. And he's like, I'm not missing this freaking ballerina thing for nothing. Are you kidding me? And so he left.
And then some people would be like, oh, look at that ballet. We could tie the ballet together again. But, or,
oh, it's we could. Just,
or like, what did Red say it was? The stop looking for something because it's really not there kind of thing.
Well, that's a direct connection, man. Like, that's a direct connection. So, you mentioned it. Let's go to it.
But
what do you think?
But Agnes is a ballerina, period. Full stop. It doesn't have anything to do with anything in the past. It doesn't have to be connected to anything. Agnes is a ballerina. Therefore, she will do ballerina shows.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It doesn't have to be connected to the fact that, oh, her grandmother might have been a ballerina or was a ballerina.
So what did you take from that? The ballerina thing?
Nothing. Just that we got to see Agnes dance again in a much bigger production than the one she was in last time we saw her dance, because she was much younger at the time.
Yep. I think he really appreciates a good ballerina.
But you're damn straight. I like tried to still pause that episode and I was like, was he holding a program and is he sitting in a theater in the same seat that he was back in season one
to see if it was actually just a recreation of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I don't have any doubt that you
but it seemed like he was more in the back row than he was kind of over on the right center.
They show him applauding to Agnes. It was definitely for Agnes.
It was definitely for Agnes.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the real main theme of this episode was love. Love can both be the killer and love can make you do crazy things, like take an educated guess that you won't die by stepping outside.
And all he wanted to see it, you know, back in, what was it, 87?
87.
Was this girl dancing.
Yeah.
Yep. Remember, there's been some time jumps and stuff like that. So I don't even know where we are in the timeline. I'm sure somebody's yelling at their TV or their radio and saying, this is, I don't care.
I'd have to remember when season 5 aired, then I'd have to add a year and a half, and then we'd have to add 2 years after season 8, and another year or so after season 9. So yeah, we're like 5 years in the future.
I still say 87 could easily have been Liz, but you know, some people don't feel that way.
Yeah.
To each their own. So once Michael finds out what she did, though, he wants nothing to do with her.
That was a twist.
That was a shock. I was like, but I got his point. Like, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. Hey, you know what? She was right. He is a good dude. And also, he is right. She is psycho.
Yeah.
So get away, because she will kill you too.
Eventually.
As soon as she didn't like something you did. Oh, man, you didn't take the trash out on Tuesday. You're dead. You're going to have this freaking toxin. And I can't open a window now. It's hot out, man. It sucks.
I wonder if it, like, not worth it. Because eventually it dissipated from your body, right? That's what Herbie said. Like, after 24 hours,
yeah,
it would just... That said that. It would just leave your body after a period of time.
Yeah, when they cut wormwood is 24 hours. Yep.
So...
Well, because they did hunt him down. They find out they just need to wait out that few more hours. But Red had already left at that point because he didn't want to miss Agnes's ballerina recital, which he would only do for family, if you ask me.
Family.
So that's the overall episode. We agree. Good one.
Yeah, this is good.
All right. Good work, and good job, Diego. Good job, Sam. So, you know, I think you're both. I don't think Diego, I looked, I didn't see any other director credits. So this might be his first episode of directing.
Yeah.
Ever.
Not bad.
Yeah. Pretty good job. All right. Let's go to characters music. I didn't think we.
The music from the Bradley recital itself. Was the only real music in this episode, but there's been...
Was it Swan Lake?
Most likely. I didn't actually look it up, and I don't remember off the top of my head because I watched it pretty late last night, but I would gander or guess that it was Swan Lake because that was the most of the other times that we were doing. Yeah, last time Agnes did a ballet recital, right, was Swan Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, that's the only one that's ever done, huh?
Right. And the one for 87 that he was there to see the program every year that he was the donor of was Swan Lake. And I think the music in the ballerina music box from season 1 was Swan Lake. So definitely a lot of tied in there.
Right. And I do want to say, I think if I remember right, because people always love to say Liz couldn't have been that girl. Da, da, da. I'm like, Liz doesn't even know her own birthday. How do you know how old she is? How do you know?
I remember there were people that were arguing the birth date when it was on the tombstone after she died.
Yeah.
Like, it's a birth date. Who cares? Moving on.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely moving on.
And clearly, Sia has a completely different age than what, you know, her sisters were from season 1.
Right. That's funny. Oh, man. Okay.
It's always
anyway. Good.
Anyway, if you have ever liked the music on the Blacklist, you can always go get those songs that we put together over all the years on Apple and Spotify. Both those links to the playlists are over on the website at theblacklistexposed.com.
All right. So it's time to move on, kids. And where are we going to? Hudson. Well, he summons Jonathan. Okay, so here we go. We got to say, not a mole. Technically,
not a
mole.
Yep, not a plant.
But now he is a plant.
Now he's a snitch, as I said.
Yeah. So I'm saying we're still right. because he did behave. We said he has to have some kind of value. He's going to be a mole. He's going to be something down the road. He's going to be used or something. And here we are. Now, here's what I would say. So he's Wrestler is his sponsor, right?
Yes.
And Jonathan says Wrestler saves his life.
Yes.
And
he owes his life to Wrestler for the last 2 years.
Right.
He owes his life to Wrestler.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, his name is not Jack.
Well, I still call him Jack because that's funny. And then Hudson calls Keen a corrupt FBI agent, by the way. What a dick. But Hudson's telling him, you know, go find out, da 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 da, this happened. And so he finds out that, you know, Wrestler's lost love is named Liz Keen, and that's enough to make him turn. That's my only problem with the episode. I feel like, okay, he has no character.
Jonathan?
Because, yeah, that would not be enough. Okay, this is a good reason why he cracked. It doesn't mean that he's a dirty FBI agent.
But he told Hudson he did actually do some research into Liz Keen and found out that she was on the run and killed the attorney general. And he's saying, like, hey, she did do all these things.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be enough for me to go, okay, I'll be a snitch to this guy who literally saved my life. Like, that, he has no loyalty as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's still, that would, I feel like he still had loyalty to Wrestler, but he does realize that Wrestler is working with a task force that could be corrupt. And Hudson is actually kind of a little slimy, wormy in this, right? When he tries to manipulate Jonathan to say, like, Wrestler's the guy that is trapped, right? He's been manipulated to be on this task force, and he doesn't even know how bad this task force is. So wouldn't you want to do this to save your friend?
Yeah, and that's dumb. You're dumb if you buy this. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, it's not like Jonathan's like the bright, shining, like, genius or something.
I'm just saying.
He's not Steve Jobs or whatever.
He doesn't have any loyalty, I'll tell you that. Because I would have, when he's talking to Wrestler, that would have been a perfect opportunity to, of course, it's TV, you can't do that, but perfect opportunity to have an honest conversation. Hey, this guy is saying this about you. You need to know about this because you literally saved my life. I said this four scenes ago. Know what I'm saying? That's what I would have done. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Especially after you gave him your 2-year chip.
Man. I hope he throws that chip right in his eye. Just bing, right in his eye. At least we know where Hudson's going with this. He's going to use Jonathan to get to Wrestler to get to... He got there because of Zuma, right? Because of Dembe?
Yep, because he went to the one other congressman when he was having lunch and tried to put the piece of paper in front of him that wasn't actually anything in the envelope.
And he got Zuma. And, then that led to the the congressional or the hearing.
The Zuma led...
four ADs.
Zuma led to the photograph... the one photograph ever that Dembe and Red were taken together, which was the and photograph Russ earlier was, in the season that we saw.
Russ was the guy who hunted Red down.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There's the connection. Yep. All right. I was trying to remember from Morgana, like, how did they get to Wrestler from Zuma? Because Zuma was really the big focus. But that's something I wanted to mention. They finally got to the point where, how does this guy become an FBI agent? Thank God. That's how we have a meeting with four assistant directors to go over this, and they agreed? I don't understand.
You know why you don't understand?
Because nobody's good at their job.
Because you weren't in the room when it happened. The room when it happened.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right. So moving on. We kind of got Wrestler's meet up. He meets the sponsoree, Jonathan, again. And it seems like it's a good relationship, but turns out that guy's a dick. Herbie is sent in as Red's medical expert to kind of make the assessment and put everything together. He does a fine job. He is the new Aram.
Yeah, because this would have been Aram's role in any other season.
Yep.
What do you mean I got to go in? There's going to be germs and viruses, and oh my gosh, and I got to wear the suit. Yeah, you could totally see, you know, Aram's character.
And he's doing as well as he could be expected.
Yeah.
I guess. You know? I mean, he's no Aram, don't get me wrong. Miss Amir, but he's doing a good job. That's about all he had to do this episode. Sia didn't really have much to do. Anything of note?
Yeah, just the body slam. Take down the guy.
Yeah, just that. Looks sharp in a long coat.
Yeah. Looked like they did her hair differently this episode, too.
What?
It was just something I noticed. It was like she just looked like she had more presence this episode than just the, you know, the short, cute girl sitting on the edge. It looked like she was more...
She had that bitching coat, man.
Yeah. She felt more FBI in this one. Than desk clerk.
She felt more FBI than desk clerk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Or MI6, correct? She's on loan from the UK.
Yeah, she's a loner, literally and figuratively. Cooper, do you have a death wish? You should be in quarantine. He would have been there if he wasn't too busy, by the way. He would have been at that same recital that Red had no problem going to. So he's a dick, too.
Yeah,
It's not a game. We're not simply associates. I care about you, and Agnes cares about you, and you need to respect that. How'd you like Cooper's little confrontation?
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. And I love that he threw it back in his face that you break into my house all the time, jackass.
That was probably one of the best lines of the episode. He's just like, will you come into my house? And I was like, yeah, you tell him, Cooper. That's right.
Finally. Damn right. God, get out of my house. Stop showing up. That's just weird. I don't like when people come over without calling first. Let alone just show up in the living room.
Red also has a valid point. He's like, yeah, but when I come to your house, you don't have a gun ready to shoot me.
It's true. So Red, he says priorities. Keeping his word was worth the risk because he said he would be there. And he does respect Harold very much. I want a reminder of the good and beauty this world has to offer. I can't think of a better reason to risk my life, can you? So, concluding from that, I guess my thought would be that when it is all said and done, he is going to go away in some form. Now, I do think the task force will be set up to be shown to be extremely productive, one of the most productive task force ever, because they took down that logistics company. They've taken on all these blacklisters that are much more, less tied to Red, but also known to Red, kind of thing. And, you know, so a lot of these case of the week seeming episodes are going to play into that, I think. And he's either going to die or he's going to disappear. Do you have a preference?
I like disappear better than die. Die only works when he dies in front of Liz.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Any other death would be a death wasted.
Yep.
And I feel
explain why you think that, though.
Well, I feel like the character of Raymond Reddington, Red Reddington, has always been someone who has always done whatever they want to do, march to the beat of their own drum kind of thing. So mm-hmm. if he were taken out in any other way other than him doing it himself or planning his death like he did in the end of season 8, where he wanted Liz to shoot him, I feel like it just, yeah, the myth, the ghost, the legend has to continue on in some stretch or form. And if the threat of him always being out there somewhere, I think is a much better, cooler finish at this point than the Shakespearean tragedy that we already did get at the end of season 8. But if Liz and him would have been together here at the end in season 10, then yeah, it's definitely Red would have gotten killed.
Okay. Got it. Just checking to see what you think. I think he, I agree. I feel like anti-heroes dying seems to be cliche at this point. I feel like that's just the way it always goes. I'd prefer he's thought to be dead. He's thought to be not real. Like maybe he builds it up to be a mystique that like we were talking about earlier, where Red Reddington is just a figment of your imagination kind of thing. I would prefer something like that. And he just disappears and goes off to his private island or something along those lines, maybe with Weecha or whoever, since he apparently forgot about the other sister.
Someone had mentioned something about that, about the sisters and not remembering anything about them having a relationship previously. And there was one episode in season 9 where Marvin came to the trailer, to the camper, and Red comes walking out of the bedroom with Weecha still in it as he closes the door. And Marvin said something to the effect of, you know, hey, I thought you were with the other sister. And Red's like, I was, you know, but at this point it's like, I'm a man and I offered up my bed and I took the couch, but she's a woman and she offered. So of course I obliged. So it's not like him and Weecha have a relationship. It's just friends with benefits.
Whatever works for him. We have some special agent intel to get to, so I want to take a second and say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. A special shout out to our task force members, Judy, Sharon C., Richard, Rory, Catherine, Jens, Cheryl, James, Justin, Cindy, Ryan, Johnny, Lacey Ann, Emily, Jacob, and Sharon B., all our official task force members, and every one of these people receive very cool gifts from us, and you can get a cool gift as well for donating at the $20 level or higher. You can get a cool t-shirt or a coffee mug, and you don't have to stay at that level forever, just a couple months to get the cool gifts.
And some changes are coming because it's the end of the show. We're going to have the podcast awards are going to be coming up here in just a few weeks, and we're going to need y'all to vote for our podcast coming up here in July. So just make sure you stick around for that. We want to make sure we get nominated. We've been nominated every year that we've done the show, so we don't want to whimper out on the last one. Hopefully they just give us an award this time, because it's like, you know, it's Return of the King. It's the last one of the three.
Just throw it at our head.
Exactly. So yeah, we definitely want your help with that. We'll give you more details here next week once voting opens up. But if you are a $5 patron, you do get the episodes early. So make sure that you go over to P-A-T-R-E-O-N. That's patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. So you could throw your $5 in the hat and get all the information from Chuck next week before anybody else. Because we're talking about room 417, it sounds like. Which some have speculated was the room number of the hotel where Katerina and Ilya met up.
Oh, you think so?
I've not dug into it. That is just the speculation I heard from the internets.
Oh, I'm excited. That sounds interesting.
All right, well, stay tuned. We got a few special agent intels for you coming up right after this.
When you go through there, it's 1960.
Stephen King's time travel thriller, 112263, is coming to Hulu. And Golden Spiral Media will journey down the rabbit hole with 112263, A Look Back. Join Wayne Henderson and Troy Heinrichs as they journey through the obdurate past. Life turns on a dime. So join us at 112263podcast.com.
Okay, observation of new watcher. Hello, so as this title suggests, I'm very much a new watcher, and I'm certainly not here to step on anyone's toes. I didn't watch the show thinking about any theories and was a little blown away at the theorizing everyone has done. It seems very much an unpopular opinion here, but I kind of like Red Arena. It could be, is this on Reddit or is this on
our group? This is Reddit, yeah.
Okay. It could be confirmed, it could be negated. But watching it for the first time, without anything else in mind, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the show's emphasis on gender plays on biology. Liz mentions during the pilot that people call her Sir, and there are multiple characters, Mr. Kaplan infamously, who use different gender-neutral aliases. Then, of course, there's the show's willingness to bend the limitations of biology, the abortion, cis male pregnancy storyline being notable. Again, I'm not saying anything is true, but I like the way Red Arena fits into the broader treaties of the show and the exploration of gender. All of those things I would say are very accurate and were written very much to address certain things that happen within the show. And yeah, you're not wrong. It's just unfortunate. Look, so many people from the show have said the answer was given in the end of season 8. So many people. It's an offer you can't refuse. But people just refuse it. It's kind of like the Bud Light thing. Way out of proportion. But people, you know, they stick to whatever they stick to. It is what it is. Still, if you enjoy the show, you enjoy the show. I don't think it really matters who Red is at this point in the show. It was really only important who he was up until Liz died. You know, now, I mean, I guess Agnes still is there. So there's some importance. But to me, the whole who is Red also ended with Liz. So who cares at this point? But yeah, I think you're 100% right.
And some would say it's probably even ended at season 5. The minute you get confirmation that he's not Raymond Reddington, naval officer.
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all, but you go ahead.
Well, I mean, you open up a new set of questions. You open up the, okay, well, if he's not Raymond Reddington, Liz's father, then who the hell is this guy?
Yes. I mean, the show's gone through this, like, check boxes along the way, too. Not Raymond Reddington. Raymond Reddington is definitely her father. Raymond Reddington also dead. So they confirmed that. So if it's a parent, there's only one other parent. You got that. There's multiple. I mean, you could go through it. Check. We've already done the episodes on that. What was that episode? I think the end of episode 8. We went through it ad nauseum, bit by bit, including quotes from John Bokekamp to kind of illustrate the points.
Yeah, I like this concept because he's talking about the gender thing, which has been the biggest hang up about this whole thing about, you know, did they transition just to be a costume so they could keep an eye on their kid, or were they really transgender the entire time and wanted to be a male, and those conversations. So I love that the show has done a really good job of, you know, these types of stories, hiring transgendered actors, even from the pilot, the whole, you know, which field trip should we go on? Should we go to the Air and Space Museum or the zoo? The zoo, because the zoo's more gender neutral, is what Liz says. Story about the djinn from season 3, right? The lady that, you know, wanted to, you know, was forced into becoming the other gender because of the way that her father, I can't remember which gender she actually wanted to identify as, because that's so long ago. But yeah, lots of episodes like that point to, you know, gender fluidity in the show.
Yeah, and I mean, the show has gone out of the way to be very inclusive. There are multiple trans actors and actresses in this show currently. I'm not going to go into them because they, you know, that's their place if they want to make that very public or not, but they're in the show right now. So it's very much always been a factor, and it isn't something where they're trying to, God, some people are like, people trying to jam stuff down our throats and blah, 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 blah. No, that's not it. This show's been on the air for 10 years. It was always the idea, always the plan. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but that's always been the plan. And the show's done a very, very good job, especially in season 8, of covering the bases that I was very concerned about specifically, because I really care about this topic being handled with kid gloves. And because my daughter is LGBTQ, and it was handled very well. So I'm sorry. A lot of people love to be mad about this. And, you know, that's says more about them than the show, as far as I'm concerned.
Totally. Well, all right. Well,
I'm tired of apologizing or trying to be nice about it. You don't like it, you don't like it. I don't care.
Yeah, that's exactly how it comes to the end of the day. It's like you still spent 10 years watching it. So clearly you were getting some kind of enjoyment from it. And if you want to hate watch it after 10 years, that's up to you.
Doesn't change the show in any way, shape, or form. It's actually, that was the show.
Right.
You know, I don't know what to say about it. I don't know. People are weird.
I didn't like A Christmas Carol, but it is The Christmas Carol.
I don't like A Christmas Story. Sucks. Yeah, I said it. Don't like Groundhog Day either. Sucks.
But it doesn't change the fact that what it was.
What it was is what it was. Hey, it wasn't for me. That's all.
I did like Spirited. I thought that was a really cool take on the Christmas Carol story, personally.
Was that the musical one?
Yeah.
With Ryan Reynolds? Yeah, that was fun.
Good at different singers singing the songs, but the concept of it was really awesome.
Sure. We're way off topic.
All right. This is also from Jackson's over on Reddit. He posed the question to the Reddit community and said, you are in charge of writing the remainder of the show. How would you give it the season 1 to season 3 glory of the olden days? Give me your pitch to wrap this thing up.
Mine is pretty honestly, what I would do is bring back Alexander Kirk. That's what I would do. I would bring back Alexander Kirk to work with Red, and then because I don't think, you know, what we just talked about, I don't think NBC wants that directly said because of how things have gone with Cracker Barrel and Bud Light and all that stuff. You know, I'm sure they're worried about that kind of nonsense.
Right.
And yeah, it is nonsense. It's stupid. But so what I could say, and, you know, boycott me, I guess, but.
I was like, I just saw a tweet. Cancel Aaron.
Go ahead. For what? For saying that's attacking a brand because they support Pride Month is ridiculous. I mean, just don't go there if it's that big a deal to you. I don't know why it would be a big deal to you. It's not really changing anything. That stupid rocking chair isn't going to affect you in any way, shape, or form. But you do you, man. You do you. What I would do is bring back Alexander Kirk because, like I said, I don't think they're going to have Red say it out loud just because of those circumstances. I think, you know, their network, they got to protect their brand. I get it. So I would see them probably doing something along the lines of having, I would like to see something like a Kirk come back and then he can speak to it directly. But because it's Kirk, people can take it however they want to take it. And I think sometimes ambiguity is okay. And I feel like they've already given the answer, it depends on if you want to accept it or not. That's your call. So if you want to end on and don't want to say it directly, end on some ambiguity and then let fans fight about it forever, just like Lost. Yep. Why not? It keeps people talking about the show. It'll keep people watching the show. At this point, I would prefer that they found a way to say it, but I don't think they ever will because it would be hard for them to manage.
Right. And if they do some kind of indirect confirmation like they were talking about at the end of the show, at least if they do indirect confirmation and they visually confirmed it back in season 8. I mean, that's twice. If those two things line up and agree with each other, it's kind of hard to like say, because you got, you know, what does it say? It's not a new story until you have a second thing to corroborate it. So
sure.
If you got two that match up, then that's got to be the answer.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. However they end it, people are still going to argue about it.
Oh, for sure.
You could come out and say, hi, I'm Red Reddington, and here's exactly who I am. And then, you know, Spader could go on a whole monologue explaining exactly who he is and how everything happened and blah, blah, blah. And then people would say, no, that's not what happened.
And people would also be like,
"Real Ray Human Reddit.
I'm never watching anything with James Spader ever again."
I don't think he cares at this point.
Oh, he definitely doesn't care, but you know there would be people
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Good for him.
We're on the same wavelength. My pitch, though, would be to bring back Scotty Hargrave.
I would love that, too.
Because if you bring back Scotty Hargrave, talk about Agnes and how Agnes needs to be cared for because he has to disappear or he's dying or whatever it ends up being. You know, and then he obviously clues in, you know, Wrestler, being that Wrestler was the closest thing to Liz's husband's replacement because Tom's dead.
Yeah. That's right. Tom's dead. We can remind everyone that Tom is still dead. He's still so dead. He's not coming back.
Remember all those times when they thought like Tom woke up when he was sliding into the thing and they were like, Tom's going to be back.
Yeah. Thank God they showed him dead, so I know he's dead.
Because here's the thing. In this age of we can't make new stuff, right? We have to have franchises and IPs and things that make you go on and da-da-da-da-da. The best thing the Blacklist could do is remind people that Scotty Hargrave and Grey Matters exists so that if and when Eddie Gathegi ever wants to come back into the fold, even though Blacklist Redemption didn't work, you could still have the Blacklist universe and do some show 5, 6, 8, 10 years from now and re-bring up this IP to go back under the hood one more time.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. We'll find out. We've only got, what, 4 left after this?
3. 4 episodes, 3 weeks, because it's a 2-part finale on the 13th of July.
Yeah. And reminder, we are going to do a live wrap-up after that finale. So, whew, exciting. Exciting. That's pretty exciting.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
10 years.
I mean, we'll do a wrap-up episode, like I said, but it won't be right after. It'll be a couple weeks, so we have time to digest everything. Yeah. So there's that. Well, that's going to conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend they listen and subscribe to the Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at theblacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
For more great Aaron Troy hijinks, follow us on your favorite social media outlet. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. Together, the show is at the Blacklist GSM. You can also follow us at Buy Popcorn. That is our show for The Hollywood Outsider. Make sure you go check that out. We talked about time travel this week and because The Flash hit theaters and we wanted to see what you all thought about time travel in TV and movies. So check that out at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
And we don't talk about Blacklist. It's like Fight Club. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Do you like Red's casualty with death this season? What do you think that he's so flippant?
I don't know.
Okay.
He could die tomorrow. He could be alive forever. Because that mysterious illness that he had was never addressed again. So
maybe Red will end the season driving away in a DeLorean.
That would be weird.
I think it would be amazing.
It's like Winston Churchill's hat. He's like, I always wanted one of these.
Exactly. Vroom. All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.